This is WrestleZone Radio, presented by WrestleZone.com. Find us on iTunes. Welcome back to WrestleZone Radio, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, Nick Hausman, and it is a Raw Thursday. That is right, it is a Reality of Wrestling Thursday here. And joining us back on WrestleZone Radio, the man who really is responsible for Raw Thursdays here on WrestleZone, it is, of course, the co-host of Heated Conversations, Brad Gilmore. Brad, welcome back to WrestleZone Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Nick? I'm glad you could have me on. It's a peak in the world of Reality of Wrestling, but I'm glad that we were able to make this happen.
Absolutely. Big week. And I've really enjoyed, by the way, the ROW Thursdays. I think this has been a big hit for all of our users out there. Everybody loves tuning in every Thursday night, of course, to the WrestleZone Facebook page, watching the Booker T live Raw seminar, which everyone will do again tonight. But I've gotten a chance to start to meet the wrestlers of ROW. Rex Andrews, J.J. Blake, Rob Barnes, all men that I've gotten the chance to speak with. And you handpicked all of those wrestlers for me to talk to. Right, Brad?
Yeah, you know, those are some of my favorite guys, and it's not even just, you know, hand-picking them. It's just, you know, a guy like Rob Barnes, the first ever reality wrestling champion, a guy like J.J. Blake, who if you got it, you know, he had to tease it when he was on the air with you, but if you watch the reality wrestling on Fight TV this past weekend, he is now the first ever Dynamite Fight champion of all television. He created his own championship, Nick. He said, screw everyone else, I'm creating my own title. So he did it, Million Dollar Man style, which is ironic that y'all talk so much about the Million Dollar Man, because he created his own championship similar to Ted DiBiase. And then you have, you know, Rex Andrews, who right now has his own series, The Rex Files, over on Fight TV. You know, he's in Japan as we speak, wrestling with Wrestle One, and he's having an awesome time. And I cannot wait to, you know, pick his brain when he gets back.
Yeah, it's really awesome the relationship that ROW and Wrestle One have evolved with, and you've got Rex over there right now. Have you heard anything from Rex about what his training is like? I know that he's supposed to be doing live videos or for Fight, right? Where he's going to take people into the dojos as he trains over there.
Yeah, you know, I believe he's up to episode 10 or 11 of the Rex Files over on Fight TV, exclusively on Fight TV.
Man.
It was interesting. You know, I got to watch a couple of them when, you know, in his travels to Japan, you know, getting on the airplane, landing, and then he wrestled his first house show with Wrestle One, I believe, yesterday. And he's getting ready for a big show that they have, I believe, on Valentine's Day, February 14th. It's going to be a big television special they're taping over there. So Rex is having an awesome time. You know, Rex was a guy who also, when Great Khali, who is a Houston resident, but also lives over there in India.
What?
Great Khali lived in Houston. Yeah, Great Khali is an H-Townian. Ah. He resides here in Houston, but also in India. A lot of his time he's in India. Rex, when Great Khali opened a school over there, he asked for Rex to come over to his school in India and train his guys over there in India. So this isn't Rex's first wrestling trip abroad, especially a flight like that, but It's really cool for someone like him, who he and I started reality wrestling at the same time. We're the same age. We got into wrestling at the same time, or, you know, as kids, you know, our WrestleMania that we got to watch was the same one. So our lives kind of are parallel in a lot of ways. So it's cool for me to see somebody like him grow at such an exponential rate, especially getting to travel the world just to wrestle. Traveling the world to wrestle, that's pretty much a dream right there.
Now, you do commentary for ROW. How nerve-wracking is that for you? Are you used to it now, or do you still get stressed? Because I've done some commentary recently, and it is, for me, it's like the most stressful stuff I've ever done in wrestling, because you got to know everything, and you go the entire show. I mean, how stressful is that for you?
You know, it's interesting. I started off as a ring announcer, and then one day, we were getting ready to do 6 weeks of TV tapings at a Comic-Con in Houston called Comic-Palooza. And, you know, it's maybe 2 days before the show, and I'm like, okay, cool, man. I'm ready to do my ring announcing, whatever. And I'm at the school, and Booker says, hey, Brad, by the way, you're doing commentary this weekend. I was like, what? You know, because they already had a color and a play-by-play guy at the time. It was No, actually, it was Matt Topolsky, who's my broadcast partner now, and a guy named Adrian Jones, who was the long-standing host there, or long-standing color guy. And I just remember that night being I was kind of freaked out. I called Rich Brennan, who was working with WWE at the time. I'm like, give me a crash course, man. Give me a crash course. What do I need to know? What do I need to stay away from? And we talked on the phone for probably like 3 hours that night. I went out there for my first television taping, and I did horrendously.
Ugh.
I was trying to sound like a broadcaster. I was trying to sound like an announcer. I had notes prepared. I had like 10 pages of notes prepared for each of the matches of points I wanted to get over. And I just came off as too scripted and too canned. And I remember Booker, because it was a two-day taping. So the first day, it was three episodes. The second day was three episodes. And I remember Booker being like, hey, man, just go out there and just be Brad Gilmore. Be yourself. You know, try not to think about it too much. And just, you know, you're an entertaining guy. I've seen you out here, at, you know, doing concerts and clubs. I mean, you're funny. Like, just go out there and be yourself. And, you know, it'll come out naturally. And that's what I was doing. And then it kind of, after that, man, it was good, man. I mean, I don't stress out about the tapings anymore, at least from a commentary perspective. You know, I guess a lot of people don't know that, but I write the shows with Booker and our director, Kevin Bernhardt, and a lot of times Bruce Pritchard is involved in the writing process of the television show. And we all sit in a room and we hash out stories and finishes and whatnot. So that's kind of now my main concern. And being with Reality Wrestling for 5.5 years now, or 5+ years, I know all the guys and helping and writing the stories. I know the stories. So going out there to do commentary, it's not as stressful anymore because I know where everything's going.
Man, writing wrestling is like, and it's interesting to hear you talk about the progression, right? One day you're just there, next day you're ring announcing commentary. Now you're sitting in the room there. Tell everybody out there, describe to them, what is it like to have an idea and walk into a room with guys like Booker T and Bruce Pritchard and pitch it? What is that process like for you?
Well, so when I first, I'll never forget this. This is a fun story. So I remember I would pitch ideas here and there to Booker, just to see, you know, what he thought. And some of the times he'd like my ideas. And then, you know, sometimes he'd be like, man, your idea's pretty good. You know, that's a really good idea. And I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. Booker T thinks my idea about wrestling's awesome. Oh, that's incredible. So
That's the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I remember we were doing the radio show together for probably about, I don't know, maybe a year, 6 months at that time, 8 months, somewhere around there. And I asked him after one of the recordings, I said, hey, Book, would you mind if, you know, the next writing session, like I sat in and, you know, if I have any ideas, you know, I'll pitch them, you know, but if I don't, I just want to be a fly on the wall. He was like, yeah, no problem, Brad. Come to the next, you know, next time we have a show, come in the meeting. So Booker sometimes drives his RV to the show.
Oh, did not know and, that.
Oh, it's awesome. So I remember I'm sitting there kind of going over notes for commentary and I get a phone call from Booker and he's like, hey, we're in the RV. Come run down the show with us. I'm like, oh, wow, this is awesome. So we go into the RV and we're sitting and we're talking about this particular finish and they can't figure out how to come up with a finish for this match. And I just pitched something. I'm like, hey, what if there's like a double turn and these guys interfere or whatever, right? I can't remember exactly what it was, but I pitched this idea and Booker looked at Bruce and said, I told you, right? I told you he had good ideas. And I was like, oh, wow. Like Booker T and Bruce Pritchard had a conversation about my ideas before. So I remember that was just phenomenal. And then, so after that, I kind of had confidence in knowing kind of what Booker likes. And Bruce is a wealth of information, like everyone out there who listens to wrestling podcasts knows. He's on another planet. And so is Booker. I mean, combined, they've been in the business nearly 7 decades. So, you know, there's a lot of knowledge there. So for me, it's only 5 years. So I have to go in there and really be confident with my ideas, but I know what they like. I know what they don't like. And I provide, I think, something that they can't. And this is what Booker preaches all the time. Booker likes to be the oldest person in the room, and he likes to hear young ideas. And what, you know, like Booker, he got in the business when he was 25 years old. He watched it a little bit as a kid, but he wasn't like a massive fan. Me growing up at 5 years old, I'm hooked, right? So I feel like I can add in there what a fan might want to see. And I think that's the angle that I take, you know, a bit younger approach and, you know, see what the fans like. And a lot of the times, like a lot, you know, it's awesome also when you pitch this idea and then it shows up on the show and it shows up on TV. You're like, oh, wow, that was something I pitched. And now I'm seeing it acted out in real life. So that's been probably the most rewarding process of anything I've done in reality wrestling, better than commentary. even I enjoy it more than even doing the radio show with Booker, the podcast. I just like sitting in that room and come up with stories and then seeing them play out in front of my eyes.
Now, you say that you know what Booker likes, you kind of know what Bruce likes. What's the difference, right? Is there something that Booker prefers in wrestling a little bit more than Bruce, or do you think they're kind of on the same page?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think a lot of the times they see things similarly because, you know, Booker has this great phrase that there's no wrong way to go about doing something as long as you do it right. And to me, that it's almost the same with Bruce. And Bruce spent, 20, 30 years with Vince. So I think a lot of times Bruce sees through Vince's eyes, right? And Booker sees through, I was a wrestler at one point, this is how I would do it. So I think that's the biggest difference between them. Bruce has produced some of the greatest segments in the history of wrestling. So a lot of the times I think he looks at it from, you know, a producer, you know, kind of thing. And Booker looks at it like, I was a performer once, and this is what I would like to do in that match. If this was me, this is how I would lay it out. And I think that's the biggest difference. But a lot of times they're on the same plane. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is Booker's company. So everything gets filtered through him. And I mean, he's told me, no, I hate that. Or he told me I don't like that idea, or we're not going to do that. And you got to take the good with the bad. You know what I mean? And sometimes he's going to not like it. But a lot of times I feel like if it's a good idea, it should be good to everybody, you know?
Well, you would think that. You know, my favorite thing, you know, I won't go into the promotion here in Chicago, but I pitched this one idea with them with Frank the Clown from Holy Foley, right? We did this, yes, like phenomenal segment with Frank where he like came out and pretended like he was doing a regular interview and everybody just booed him because they hate Frank because it's Frank the Clown, right? Who likes Frank? And like he knew the whole time he was like at some point just going to turn on the crowd. He was going to pretend like he was going off script. He was just going to shoot on the crowd and see how we were just basically going to experiment to see how much heat we could get on Frank the Clown, you know, in the pre-show. Yeah. And we got a lot of heat. We got a lot more heat than we expected. And the wrestlers actually like wound up using Frank as part of the show later on because he had so much heat. Flash forward the next day, I'm like, wow, great. Like, I'm really looking forward to doing more with Frank. And they're like, we don't like Frank. We have no interest in working with Frank. And it broke my heart because it was like, no, he's unlikable. He's not unlikable for the wrong reasons. He's unlikable for the right reasons. It was a creative discussion for me. And you all are out there are welcome to judge that. Anyway, I always like to bring that up and ask people like yourselves who sit in those rooms and pitch those ideas, is there, like, that was mine, right? Like, that was my idea that I thought, like, this is a great, people want to love hating Frank the Clown. Some people didn't agree with me on that. Was there ever a situation for you where you felt like, oh, you know what, this has got to be a winner. And then you walked in and they're like, no, this is Brad. This is not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, and that's happened a couple times. And, you know, I'm trying to think of one specifically. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a specific one. Well, here's one thing. And this speaks to Booker's vision for reality wrestling. There was one time where we had a named guy working with us, you know, a former guy from WWE or in TNA or whatever. And I thought there would be a good idea. There was a good story there and a good angle to pitch for them to win our championship. And it had nothing to do with the guy. But when I pitched it, Booker was like, no, I'm not doing that. And I was like, well, why not? Why not? He's like, man. And he might change his mind on this eventually. But at the time, he was like, I want all of our stars and all of our champions to be homegrown. I want the fans to see their progress and to see their evolution. And that when they win the championship, they felt like they were there for the entire ride. And retrospectively, I was like, man, no, this would be a great idea. But when after whatever played out, he was right. Booker was 100% right. And I love that vision of, you know, we don't need. And, you know, sometimes we have guys like MVP's working the show this Saturday, a triple threat match between him, Gino, and Ruthless Ryan Davidson. It's a non-title match.
I saw that.
It's you know, it's great to use some of those guys. Like we've had, I mean, honestly, there's been a litany of people who've come through reality wrestling, including Ember Moon, the Usos, the Dudley Boys, RVD, CM Punk, Jake the Snake Roberts. And we got matches on video with all these guys. But, you know, Booker's vision to grow stars from the ground up has been one of the greatest ideas he's ever come out with. And it's awesome to see, like, at our last show, it was standing room only. We sold out every seat, and we sold to probably about another 50 to 60 standing room only seats, or, you know, tickets. And that was based solely off of our guys. And that's really so much more rewarding than saying, and there's nothing wrong if you want to do a super card and have a bunch of guys on there. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But for what Booker's vision is for the television show, Reality of Wrestling, is let's grow these guys from the bottom up. And for me, it was super rewarding to see, wow, we sold this out on our name alone, on our brand alone, on our stars alone. And I think that's, I mean, to go back to the original question, you know, that's why when Book said no, you know, we don't need to put the title on him. And then it, seeing how it played out, that's why he was right, because it's so much better to have homegrown stars do it than, you know, bringing in guys. And, you know, I mean, honestly, kind of like think of like a TNA, right? When they grew, when they had guys like Eli Drake or AJ Styles or Samoa Joe or EC3, when it was their homegrown guys, it felt better and it did more for the promotion. When it was, you know, no offense to him, but like somebody like a Jeff Jarrett or, you know, Rhino or whomever came in and won the title, it wasn't as special as seeing an AJ or Samoa Joe, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Booker's got a great mind for wrestling. And, you know, I want, while we're talking about Booker here, because I do want to transfer in just a second. We're going to talk about the Rumble to kind of wrap this up. But Booker, you and Booker obviously made headlines this past week. You know, you did heated conversations. Booker addressed the Corey Graves situation. Some of the audio got picked up on that, of Booker being a little terse with Corey. And, I mean, there's been, like, people say, you know, subtle jabs from Corey. I even think the New Day may have been alluding to it on SmackDown the other night. What do you want to – I know that Booker's got the live stream tonight on the Facebook page. Do you want to comment on this before, or do you want to give Booker the floor to comment?
Well, you know, this is a situation with Book, so I'll let him talk about it, you know, however he wants. The only thing I'll say is I encourage everybody, if you didn't listen to the full audio from the show, go check out Heated Conversations. Listen, it's like the last 15 minutes. Listen to it, and I think all questions will be answered on that. I mean, I know like a 90-second clip got out there, a two-minute clip. Listen to the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's juicier.
I heard the two-minute clip, and that's when I hit you up, and I was like, what's going on here, Brad? Is Booker T going to kill Corey Graves? I'm not really sure. So
you know what? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But I do encourage people to, you know, and as far as the situation goes, I'm going to let Booker address it. It's his situation. I was just in the room at the time. So, you know, hey, I've met Corey. Corey's a great guy. Obviously, Booker's my guy. You know, he's my mentor, my, you know, everything. So we'll see how it all plays out, man.
All right.
Well, I'm staying away from it.
Well, let's talk about the Rumble then to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Before I had all these row wrestlers on, we're going to have more wrestlers here coming up in the next month before we bring Brad on.
But I like this. I like kind of periodically checking in with you, Nick. This is great.
It's good because I'm getting to know more about the row product and the wrestlers. And so when I bring you back, I feel like our conversation is more textured, you know, and we're getting more to the root of it now, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
The root.
The root.
When I had
the root of the row,
the root of the row. Wow, is that? Did we just create a podcast?
We might have.
I might start calling my Thursday spotlights the root of row. That's actually pretty.
You might do that.
That's pretty good. I wanted to bring up the Royal Rumble because last time I had you on, we were like building to the Rumble. We were kind of talking about what may happen at the Rumble. The Rumble has happened. Are you happy with the winners, Asuka, Shinsuke Nakamura? Do you think the right people won?
Yeah, I think, if I remember right, I think those are my two picks. And they were kind of obvious picks. I said if Ronda was in there, obviously she would win, but she came later. I think the right people won. I'll tell you this. I was in Los Angeles whenever the Rumble was, and I was watching it on my tablet, and which is the first time I've ever done that. Normally for those big shows, I like to watch them, you know, on the big screen, on a couch. But so I watched them, man, and it was that Rumble. And I was at the Rumble in San Antonio last year, the one that had Brock and Taker and Goldberg in the Rumble. This year's Rumble event was great. I think this was the best Rumble in several years. And the men's Rumble was really good. And then I think the women kicked their ass. I thought that women's Royal Rumble was so awesome. And I think a part of it had to do with surprise entrance, you know, and you didn't know who's coming out. So that kind of built the excitement. And I know that obviously the men's Rumble had Mysterio and Hurricane, which was cool to see. But I think that women's match was just so fun and so exciting, and to see someone like Lita, who I've gotten to know Lita over a couple of years. She's a frequent guest on Heated Conversations, been down to Reality Wrestling. To see her go out there, to see, you know, the Bella Twins, who I love the Bella Twins. I don't care who knows it. I don't care. I love them. I love them to death. I don't care who knows it. And then Trish Stratus, who's my all-time favorite, to see them come back. Tori, Molly Holly looks like she could go on another run right now. She looked phenomenal in that match.
I'm surprised. So, yeah, I'm surprised she's not. If she doesn't, I'll be surprised.
I'll be shocked. I mean, she looked better now than she did back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, she looked like in better shape, better. Everything looked awesome with Molly Holly. She's, so incredible. So I thought that women's match just set the bar on another level. Now, I will say, I think for subsequent years, it's going to be more of a competition between the men and the women of who's going to outdo each other, because I think part of the Women's Rumble, there was a certain novelty to it because we've never seen it before. And, you know, there are all those surprise entrants. So I'd like to see what they do next year to capitalize on the momentum of the first one. I think that's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do. But as far as this year goes, I thought the women had it hands down. I know some people were upset that Asuka won, and then not they were upset that Asuka won, but they were upset that she won, and then Ronda kind of made her debut. And
right.
Some people said they stepped on her moment. I don't think that at all.
Nope.
If anything, this made it even bigger for Asuka. Like, she comes out, and then one of the biggest stars in women's sports ever comes out during your Rumble win. That elevates everybody. And I thought the way they debuted Ronda was awesome. I would have liked to see her on Raw or SmackDown the following days, but it's okay. She's filming a movie. She'll be back. And I will throw this out here. I was thought about tweeting this earlier today, but I saved it for you.
Oh, boy.
So if there's ever going to be a match, and wrestling fans may hate this, they may not, but if there's ever going to be a match with the women that's going to main event WrestleMania, how could it not be Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey? That match could main, in my opinion, that match could main event WrestleMania.
Well,
I really think so. If there's ever a match that could do it, it's that one.
Well, and they're teasing. I feel like they're teasing that match right now because Charlotte Flair put up this tweet, right? Which is where matches.
I saw that. Yeah.
Which is where matches begin now in WWE. A tweet. Where she said that she doesn't.
It seems like that's also where announcers respond to each other. But anyway, continue.
Yes, it's the art of war. So, you know, I saw that tweet from Charlotte where she said that champions don't need to point, which was good. I thought that was a great, you know, moment there. I hope that's the route they go, because the other rumored route is a tag match with Ronda and maybe whoever, maybe The Rock, maybe whoever, against Triple H and Stephanie. And it's not a bad match. It would certainly have some star power, but it's just not the match I want. Because I'm with you. I want Ronda, Charlotte, and I don't know if you close the show with it, but I don't think that you – I think you could get away with closing the show with it, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, if there's ever a match that I could see that would be enough hype, it's the daughter of Ric Flair versus and probably the best women's wrestler in the company right now, and maybe ever. Who knows how she's going to be remembered when everything's all said and done. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey in her first ever professional wrestling match. I mean, if there's ever a match that could do it, I would think there's enough hype and enough meat on that bone to do it.
See, my only thought would be to not do it at the very end, because it is Ronda's first match, right?
I thought of that too. Yeah, I thought about that too.
You know, because if she, I mean, it depends. If they go out there and they Goldberg her and they just have her go out there and just knock out Charlotte and throw on an armbar or whatever and tap her out and make her dominant, then I guess you can't really screw that up. But, right? I mean, that's tough. That's like, that's kind of what they got Shayna Baszler doing right now down in NXT. They've been doing.
Yeah, but I've seen, it was a couple years ago, but I've seen Ronda do a couple of pro wrestling. There's a video, I'm sure you've seen it, where she's kind of working out in the ring and doing like a little spot where she's like in the corner taking some shoulders and stuff. So, I mean, I saw her work a little bit, and there was enough there where I was like, you know what? With training for a couple months, she's a natural athlete. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Like, there's people like Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle who were natural Olympic caliber, NCAA caliber athletes who, when they got into wrestling, they picked it up immediately. And Ronda Rousey's no different. I mean, she was an Olympic competitor in, I believe, jiu-jitsu or judo, one of the two. And
yep.
She was a bronze medalist, I do believe. And
judo.
Then she put women's MMA on the entire map, main evented pay-per-views. And she's got great technique. She's a great athlete. I think she picks it up easy. And she's a fan. You know, when you think about someone who came through Reality Wrestling, Brennan Williams, who signed to NXT right now, he was a Houston Texan.
Oh, yeah.
He played for the Jaguars, and he played for the Patriots for a little bit. But he was a natural athlete, right, in football. And the other thing that he had going for him was he was a fan of wrestling his entire life. So when he came down to Reality Wrestling, it only took him a couple months to get signed to WWE because he understood character, he understood athleticism, and he understood the business. And I think Ronda Rousey does the same. Now, is she going to be as great as Charlotte Flair? Who knows? Perhaps. Would I put money on it? No. But I think 6-8 months down the road, she's going to be phenomenal. I think, though, she wouldn't have taken this job if she didn't plan on becoming the best in the business. That's who she is. She's used to being regarded as the greatest, right? And I think that she wants to be the greatest in whatever she does. And that's why I think in WWE, I think she'll surprise a lot of people in her debut.
Yeah, I hope you're right. You know, and UFC purists or whatever, super fans would probably point out that Ronda didn't exactly go out a winner in the UFC, right? With that all said.
Who does, though? No one wins. No one stays undefeated in the UFC. It's impossible.
No,
I mean, you think about the greatest UFC champions of all time. They've all lost. There's no one undefeated.
Yeah, I'm just saying, right? And it was a string. It was like kind of, I feel like once she got broken by a loss in UFC, there was like a couple that followed there a little bit after that because she was so dominant. With that all aside, though, my biggest concern for Ronda is not whether or not she can go out there and hang and grapple and do all that. Is I've just never, and this is maybe too critical, but I've never really been huge on Ronda Rousey as like an actress, you know?
She's not the best, but I mean, it's not like wrestlers are the greatest actors in the world.
Well, but I mean, you gotta, you know, the best ones know how to sell and emote. And Kurt Angle, to his credit, is probably one of the most emotive wrestlers of all time, right? It wasn't just the Olympic pedigree, it was the personality that matched it as well. So that's my only concern with Ronda is she going to be able to carry that side of it on top of the badass personality? That is she going to sell, right? I guess is my big question. Is she going to get in there and be able to have weakness? Is she going to be able to sell and make other people look good? I haven't seen it, so I don't really know if I'm sold on it yet, you know?
We'll see. I think that she'll be able to pick it. I mean, is she the greatest actress of all time? Is she Meryl Streep? No. I don't know if anyone expects her to be, but if she goes in there and she plays her role, I mean, think about Brock. Brock gets regarded a lot. He gets a lot of flack for his promos or whatever. I think Brock Lesnar's fantastic because he goes out there and he's Brock Lesnar. He just is being himself. And I think a part of that is Ronda Rousey. Now, some going to be character driven. Absolutely. It's pro wrestling. It's entertainment. That's what it's all about. But I think Ronda, I don't want to see her with a manager. I don't want to see her with Paul Heyman, or I don't want to see any of that. I want to see Ronda Rousey be Ronda Rousey. That's why people got into her to begin with. She came out. She's a tough chick. She beat you up. She tapped you out. She went on. Now, you could say, yeah, she lost in UFC. Hey, look, Holly Holm hit her with a kick. Holly Holm was a championship kickboxer. She hit her with a kick in the head. She knocked her out. Then her confidence was shook. Her team didn't make the right decision. They threw her in there with a killer like Amanda Nunes, and she got beat again. But look, man, you cannot deny that she is a great competitor.
Yeah,
MMA.
I know you're not.
I'm just saying generally.
It's, you know, you can be a great MMA competitor. It doesn't mean you can play Broadway, right? Like still theater, right? And that's I guess.
But look at some of the great, you know, MMA. Now, I'm not saying Ronda Rousey shook the world with her MMA cut promo type things, right? But you know, a lot of these MMA guys, they have looked at what, I mean, we know Dana White's looked at what Vince McMahon has done, and a lot of these guys have looked at what wrestlers have done. I mean, you look at the attitude of Conor McGregor. You think that's not influenced by The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I'm not,
you know what I mean?
I'm not saying it's, but you know.
I'm saying that's in Ronda.
There's a difference between watching and learning by doing, right? And there's a big difference between Conor McGregor playing Vince McMahon and walking down a hallway in a hotel, and Conor McGregor spending years perfecting the art of learning how to sell and be a pro wrestler, right? Because there's little nuances, you know? When I was doing, I remember Bret Hart's podcast, Bret is like so known for being that sympathetic babyface, getting beat down, coming back, finally getting the win, right? And it drove him nuts, I remember, a lot. Like, I think Roman Reigns in particular, how he never felt like that he was presented like he could be hurt, like he could be affected, right? Like, there wasn't a way to draw sympathy for him because he never sold anything. And he always found that, I remember, being like a disconnect. And I'm sure, I don't know. I guess it's like a wait and see. You know, I could judge what's inside the box without opening it all day. But I do wonder, is she going to be able to play that side of the coin and keep matches entertaining by having more depth and being able to show that and emote that, especially when she's selling inside of matches?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely going to be a learning process for her. But, you know, when you go to the thing, and Bret Hart, obviously one of the greatest of all time, came through Reality Wrestling a few times, love Bret Hart, been on Heated Conversations as well. But Bret has a point. But then there's always exceptions to every rule, right? I mean, you look at Goldberg, who would really sell a lot, but he still got over. Yeah. Now, was it, you know, because he was the most emotive person in the world? Well, you know, part of his energy had to do with that. But he, you know, he didn't have to sell. Taker is another guy. You know, early Taker didn't have to sell, and he got over. Yeah. I'm not saying Ronda's not going to sell, but I'm saying if that's a point of contention for her, it's been done before with a similar type character in a Bill Goldberg or what have you.
Yeah, those guys, you know, and look, yeah, Goldberg, the whole package worked, right? Every time it's lightning in a bottle, there's always the right set of circumstances. Ronda, I don't know. It's wait and see. I'm hoping for the best. I mean, look, she's obviously got all the star power in the world. Credible badass. I think she'll be great. But I am, you know, I guess it's also because I'm a theater nerd. So I look for different things maybe sometimes than other people. All right. Well, this Saturday, guys, go over to the Fight app, fight.tv. Reality of Wrestling back in action. Do you want to give everybody the card? Do you want to hype them up here for what they can expect this Saturday, Brad?
This Saturday, live from the World Gym Arena, 10,000 MNF Lowry Expressway, Texas City, Texas. You will see a live Reality Wrestling television taping going down. We're taping 4 weeks of television. Our main event is a triple threat non-title match between Gino, who's the Reality Wrestling champion, Ruthless Ryan Davidson, and Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP. It's a grudge match between three guys with a lot of history between the three of them, and they're going to settle their differences. Also, a former tag team champions, The Cool, they clash inside the steel cage as Cameron Cole will face his former tag team partner, StarTech. StarTech, of course, now part of Stevie Ray Incorporated, along with Rob Barnes and the television champion, Abel Andrew Jackson. If Cameron Cole can beat Bartek, he will get his shot at the television championship, because we do things a little different at Reality Wrestling. We have a ranking system for our television championship. We've had that for a few months now, and it's funny. SmackDown popped up with their own ranking system. Shout out to them.
But you can check that out.
They did.
I hated that. I'm sorry. And I'm never that directly negative about it, but man, I did not.
I haven't seen how they have it laid out. I haven't really looked at it. I haven't gotten to see SmackDown in a couple weeks since they announced it. But we do have a ranking system at Reality Wrestling for just our television championship. So if, you know, it's like UFC. If you win, if you're the champion, that's great. If you lose the title, you're not the number one contender automatically. You got to earn your spot back up. So that's how we do it for our television championship. Right. So if Cameron Cole beats Bartek, StarTech, he gets a shot at Abel Andrew Jackson. So that's just some of the matches. But I also want to say this. The following Saturday, we have our Ladies Night Out special, our all-women's invitational at the World Gym Arena. We're producing this in conjunction with TitleMatchWrestlingNetwork.com. And this is going to be an all-women's show featuring people like Sue Young, Barbie Hayden, Kiera Hogan. By the way, Kiera Hogan, I think she made her debut on Impact this last week. If she's not in WWE in the next 12 months to 18 months, something's wrong here. This woman has the total package. She's a gorgeous woman, but she also knows how to wrestle at a very, very high level and tell a story. She's definitely somebody to watch. So that's going down February 17th at the World Gym Arena. So check it out, realitywrestling.com. You can get tickets, all that good stuff, and blah, blah, blah.
There it is, guys. And yeah, you know, the way your system laid it out, your top 10 list there, the thing that bugged me was the number one on their SmackDown top 10 list is AJ Styles, the champion. We already know he's number one. He's the champion, right?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, Brad, it makes no sense. And so I literally tweeted, what huge opportunity will WWE Champion AJ Styles get as the number one on the Smack? How much bigger that they get? They're gonna
you know, they got to figure it out. You know, like it took us a little bit when we came up with the idea about 6-8 months ago, maybe even a year ago when we came up with the idea for ranking. It takes you a little while because, you know, pro wrestling is sports entertainment. So you got to figure it out. So give them a couple weeks. They'll figure it out.
Throw the spaghetti at the wall. Maybe he'll get some stock. Maybe it's like, well, you obviously deserve more than just the title. Here's stock options for WWE, right?
Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
Of course, tonight, guys, this is coming out on Thursday morning afternoon. Check it out, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, Booker T. Rowe Seminar, WrestleZone's Facebook page every Thursday night. Go check it out. Thank you very much, Brad, for setting all of this up. Thank you for chatting with me today. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.